Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you on this lovely Mother's Day weekend. I suspect you're all getting ready for Mother's Day. That's what all the guys are doing out there, running around, getting stuff for Mom. And but we're here, available to you. Give us a ring, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We've heard from Jeff in South Carolina. Last week, we heard from Idaho. So we're happy to spread out all over the country and take your calls. We've got callers from Michigan in the past. I'm sure they're listening as well. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're also on our Facebook Live. If you go over to WTIC's Facebook page, you can go ahead and follow us there. And if you have any comments or questions, feel free to post them. We'll do our best to reference them as well. But let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us this morning. Let's go to Mark in Cheshire first. What's going on, Mark?
Good morning, Eric.
Morning,
Bob.
Sir.
Morning.
What can we do for you?
When my Windows 10 machine is being used upstairs, I'll go downstairs and use my Windows 7 machine.
Sure.
And I noticed that it averages about every third day, I'm getting Microsoft updates.
You're getting Windows Defender updates.
Microsoft Security Essentials updates.
Right, that's the Windows Defender. That's kind of like the free antivirus portion of the operating system that's updating. That's all. That's all you're getting. Which is better than nothing.
Yeah, well, it also has malicious removal tool, but I'm not accepting that.
Okay, but yeah, that's all that's updating.
I was just surprised that I was getting updates. I thought that everything was done 2020.
It is done. So the operating system's not being fixed or patched. So if there's any bugs or holes in that Windows 7 machine, they're not fixing them. But they are trying to at least keep the free antivirus that they included at least current for you. So it'd be like as if you ran a separate antivirus program from any manufacturer. That is still being updated. So at least Microsoft is trying to update the antivirus tool, which is nice of them. But you should consider updating or replacing that machine. It's not long for this world.
Oh, I already replaced it with the 10 upstairs. In fact, I'm your Gold Star student.
Oh, really? Good. Okay. I didn't know we were handing out Gold Stars.
Yeah, you gave me your only Gold Star, it was me.
You're the one guy. You're the valedictorian. I love it.
Because I set up the 10 and I put in the web root.
Awesome.
And DNS right off the bat before I even use it. So you gave me a star.
And you've had no issues, right?
None whatsoever.
Yep. And it's pretty easy
I
to do.
The 7 machine ran like the 10 machine, though.
Well, yeah, that 7 machine is probably running on a 4 or 5 year old or older processor, right?
Yeah, you got to sit there and wait for it to load.
Right.
Where the one upstairs is instant.
Nice.
Well, I just want to make sure I'm not downloading something that I shouldn't. So
it's good that you are. But now, are you a gold student in that? Are you backing up that machine upstairs?
Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah, I'll continue to give you your gold star, man. Good job.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
You too, Mark.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. So, yeah, it's okay to let your Windows 7 machine update with whatever updates are coming down. Understand, though, you shouldn't be running it in a business. If you're running a Windows 7 machine in a medical practice, you're not HIPAA compliant. If you're running it in a aerospace manufacturing client that you're making parts for the F-35, you're not NIST compliant. If you're running Windows 7 and you're actually processing sales, point of sales for customers, you know, taking the credit cards and processing, you're not PCI compliant. All three big fails, right? And there has been talk here in Connecticut of putting out some laws that, quote unquote, and I've just kind of cursorily read some of the information about it, putting out some laws that kind of protects businesses who make a good faith effort to secure their systems and then still get hacked, versus those folks who don't replace the Windows 7 systems and don't do what you should be doing based on NIST. You wouldn't have those protections, which is kind of interesting. So the legislature is considering protecting those businesses who are making a good faith effort versus those that are not. Don't be ones that are not. Make a good faith effort, folks. Let's go on to Joe in Stafford Springs. What's going on, Joe?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. After listening to your discussion about Microsoft 365, I really want to cancel my subscription. What I'm worried about, I'm not that computer literate, but I have Microsoft 365 on subscription, and I'm worried about I use Outlook. Mm-hmm. How do I, if I cancel 365, do I lose all my folders in Outlook?
So, yeah, you have...
Can I save my folders in Outlook if I cancel 365?
You would have to export that information from Microsoft 365, and I can try to find information on how to do that. Microsoft makes it a lot harder to have you leave the cloud than go into the cloud. But generally, it's driven by PST, and I can try to find way some information on that. We haven't done that lately, Bob, have we, where you have information on that?
I haven't, no.
No. So I'm sure you can export that data down locally, and then you could purchase Outlook. Microsoft, believe it or not,
is
still offering the Office Suite, Office 2021. So for all the talk of the cloud, they sure are still offering on-prem solutions still. And you can buy it.
Yeah, I realize. I think I probably will buy it. But one other question that's related to that, if I do a complete system backup using an external hard drive, will I save my Outlook folders in that complete system backup?
No, your stuff is on the cloud. See, that's the problem, right? Unless you have local apps that you're running, all your stuff is in Microsoft 365 cloud. Believe it or not, we actually provide services to businesses to back up their stuff in the Microsoft 365 cloud, because your employees can delete email, delete files from their 365 accounts. Let's say you have an employee that is like sick and tired of working for Acme, whatever. I'm going to delete my email and delete all my files and tell them to all go pound sand. Well, Microsoft isn't backing it up in the cloud, so you need a third-party backup to do it. In your case, I suspect all your stuff is in the cloud. So you need to download it, export it. So we have to find an article for you as to how to export your information from 365. My discussion really had to do with businesses being tricked into loading applications. You could, of course, too, be tricked in the same exact way. You're not as big a target as as companies are, but and it wasn't intended to freak you out too much other than just to be aware of it. You know, you can still use 365 if you wish to keep renting it. It's up to you.
I probably will just cancel. I don't use the Excel that often, and probably will just buy the Outlook outright. Although I think it's fairly right close to my subscription price. Although the subscription price is every year, whereas I can buy it outright, it'll be a one-time purchase.
But, it'll be a one-time purchase.
So I guess I have to find an export app in order to export those files from my existing Outlook folder.
Right. We're going to try to find that for you, how to export your data from 365 to local Bob's feverishly trying to find something for you.
Thank you very much for your help. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Did you find something already?
Mike and I found the same thing.
Oh, okay. So we should be able to put some information up there right away for you, sir.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for your help. Bye now.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, you got to be aware of the fact that it's in the cloud. I've actually had customers calling because now, on top of backing up their data in 365, they're like, Eric, we can't operate when 365 goes down. Amazing, it goes down? No. Yeah, it does all the time. Either it goes down or your email or your internet goes down, and all of a sudden you can't do what you want to do because you don't have anything connected and access to your data. So they're looking for me to devise a local on-prem alternative to 365 when 365 goes down, so you can still access the same data locally. I mean, it's bizarre world. It's completely upside down, right? I'll have to come up with an on-prem solution to mitigate for a 365 outage. What would you normally do?
Install your own Exchange server.
Have a local on-prem solution to begin with, right? But you know, this is just crazy. It's back and forth and back, and you know, they're paying us to put them in the cloud, paying us to take them out of the cloud, moving them around, and the monthly costs of the cloud go astronomically high. Oh my gosh, how come it's so expensive? Then you got to back up the cloud. Then you got to mitigate for the cloud. Then you got to buy multiple internet accesses in case you lose the cloud from one provider. You got to fail over to another provider. In the old days, you just had your stuff right there in your office. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, you won't have a cloud storage company that's going to ransom your data.
Right, if you want to leave them, yeah. There's that out there, too. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, guys. Feel free to get online. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back on this Mother's Day weekend. Also, it's UConn graduation weekend. I've got another one finishing up, which is great. Two down, one to go.
Mine are all gone.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, I got one getting married soon.
Oh, congratulations. So we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. And then coming up at 11 o'clock, Dr. Alessi will be in. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, so you can stick around for that. Let's get to your calls. You're nice enough to join us. Let's go to Cam out there in Southington. What's going on, Cam?
Carm.
Hi. Carm. Excuse me. Yes, it's Carm. I had an awful lot of trouble with Outlook.
Okay.
And I found out that my automatic renewal of subscription didn't take place, and they fragmented the whole Outlook, and I never really got it back totally.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I searched everywhere to try to find a software that I could buy, and nobody has it. Where do you buy the software to get, you know, so I can get rid of the subscription? The only thing I use is Word, and Publisher, I have a copy of that. I have a 2016, and, you know, I don't really need everything else.
Yeah, we can put some links as to where you buy the single copies, so you can go ahead and do that. Yeah, not a problem. But your subscription ran out, and then stopped updating, and then you reestablished it, and your data fragmented?
No, I didn't reestablish it. I called Microsoft, and I was on the line with them. One day it was 8 hours.
Oh, boy.
The next day it was 7 hours. In a week, I didn't, like, a whole week's worth with them on the phone. It was horrifying.
Yes, and welcome to our world.
Yeah, well, it seems like nobody in Microsoft knew how to get it back correctly.
Hmm.
In full, you know.
Right. And you're left all to your own devices. You are they're the ones selling you the product, and if they can't get you back, oh well.
Right. And they're the ones who were destroying the software because they didn't renew my subscription.
Right. Yeah, that can happen if people don't notice the expiration of the subscription. You find something, Bob?
Well, yeah, I got it. It's
business.
It's very hard to hear you.
Yeah, Bob's got to get on that microphone.
Yeah, I found a link here, but I don't really like it. So
we'll find some links as to where you can
buy
the software.
Reasonably priced link.
Yeah, we'll find a link there for you, Carm, so you can buy it yourself. Buy it once.
Excellent.
Not a problem.
Yeah. And then how do I get my files over, or
right,
will it just pick up all my data?
You need to export the PST from the 365 account down to your local account. And then we had a caller already talk about that, so I think Bob and Mike have already found a way to export that data from your current And we've already posted it on computertalkwithtab.com, so you can figure out how to export that data from the 365 cloud and then import it locally onto your system. So we'll give you instructions, but you gotta run through the export of the PST information.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Carm.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All those hours with Microsoft, gone.
Well, you know, they probably deleted her account. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So whatever she got in the meantime was just gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. At least she has access to it. I mean, that's kind of...
And then the other thing is, when you tie into an exchange, which is what the Office 365 is,
right?
It doesn't put it into a PST. It puts it into an OST.
OST, yeah. Good point. Let's move on to Greg in Unionville. What's going on, Greg?
Good, and you, Eric?
Good.
before coronavirus, I purchased Hewlett Packard Windows 10.
Okay.
And the only thing, though, the directions, they're way deep in the computer.
The directions on how to use Windows 10 are deep?
Yes. I'm totally blind, and no directions, even in print for
Windows 10. Have we tried like a YouTube video that you could use the audio for instructions?
Oh, use the audio for Windows 10?
Yeah, where there might be training on Windows 10 that you can find on YouTube that would
YouTube?
Be audio. Yeah, have you heard of YouTube before? I know it's a visual thing, but there is audio.
My apartment mate had YouTube, Google YouTube.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Eric.
Yeah, let me see if I can find a link, too. We're doing that right now to try to find some training videos from YouTube that might assist. Again, being sight impaired, I'm not sure how many we can find, but they would have the audio, at least, to help you. All right, Greg?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Good. All right. Yeah, we do have something for you already. Awesome. Very good. That was quick, Bob.
Yeah, it took me longer to copy and paste it, and so that we could get it posted. Then it did to find it.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult if you're sight impaired, and that's the issue with most.
Well, there's features built into the operating system for the blind and visually impaired.
Right.
And you know, you have to get that in there. Then there's other special equipment that you'd have to get along with that.
Right. Right.
Because, you know, let's face it.
It's without sight, it's hard to navigate.
Yeah, that makes it difficult.
Yeah, and so we have a link here, Windows Accessibility 2020 Spring Update talks about how it's trying to improve access. So hopefully that'll improve it for you, Greg. So we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. Feel free to get online in that time, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. The name of the show.com by Mike G. And of course, if you follow us on Facebook and like Tab Computer Systems there, these same news items will get into your news feed if Zuckerberg deems them worthy and you're not in Australia. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Four lines wide open on this Saturday morning. You guys are all doing something else today, and that's fine. Occasionally during the program, all the computer problems are fixed. We don't mind. It's nice. However, we will talk about our kids. But before we do, feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. While we're waiting for your calls, Microsoft made a joke about working from home. And not everyone was amused. So sometimes companies don't always think through the jokes they make. And yes, it's just like their software, according to ZDNet. But basically, the Teams Twitter account might have stepped into it, according to this article. It merrily tweeted, "Reminder." This is tweeting to its own internal Microsoft employees. This is the team's Twitter account. "Reminder, build your schedules around meals."
So that's kind of like the Bee Gees song, "I started a joke which started the whole world crying."
Weird. I've never heard that song, I don't think.
Oh, that was a big hit.
Was it really?
From the Bee Gees, yeah.
Okay.
I got it right here.
Awesome. Maybe Matt will play it in our next break. Then people were responding. You know, some of them thought that the little joke was funny, and, you know, they would respond, "Sample, clicks on reminder, sets to all day reminder, sets to repeat every day to eat snacks." And this guy responded, "It's very important because without proper feeding, one might not concentrate meaningfully to write software." I would contend that's been a problem for years. And then, of course, there's another one that did a little bit of a more of a dig here. This programmer wrote, "I build my schedules around failed Windows updates." So they're dealing with the same issues we all are over at Microsoft. But well, remember, schedule your meetings around meals.
How can you make your schedule around failed Windows updates when they happen all the time?
I don't know. It's pretty common, but this article is kind of funny about that. What else you got there, Bob, while we're waiting for calls?
Oh, this is a good one. I hate to say it.
Wait a minute. We got four calls all of a sudden.
Whoa.
All right. We're going to get
to
your calls.
That on the side.
So we're going to get right to your calls right away. Let's go to Sarah in Hartford first. What's going on, Sarah?
I'm calling because my email account, Hotmail, through Outlook, got hacked on, I believe it was this past Monday.
Uh-oh.
And I've got a Mac, and I called Apple to have them try to help me. And they couldn't help me at all. So then I called Googled MSN help yesterday, mm-hmm. and I got a phone number. And I think they were also scammers, but, you know, I let them in.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I figured it out after the fact.
Oh.
They wanted $199 to fix it, and then they wanted $400 to install some security program. So then I went back to a different MSN site, and I clicked on the contact support icon, and I noticed as I got through the conversation with her that just like the scammers, that she was going to use Log Me In,
mm-hmm.
and I just didn't know if that was legitimate or not. So I don't know what to do at this point.
Yeah, so your biggest problem was you have a Hotmail account, and you don't know who to contact. So we're going to put the link for the proper Hotmail connection on our website, number one.
Oh, okay.
So you can trust the link that we're going to give you. Mike G, I'm sure, can find it for support. But you fell for, you know, Googling is not a good idea.
Uh-huh.
If you don't know where your stuff is, trying to Google it and hope you find the right place is usually a bad idea. It's really important to know where your stuff is. So we're going to put that link there for you. Did you end up paying those guys that money that they talked
about? No, because I got very suspicious. But, and then when my husband walked in, he said, get off the phone right now. Shut everything down.
Right. And Log Me In is a tool that is very common. There's nothing wrong with that tool. But did you let them into your computer?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah. So who knows?
I just feel like I'm at this point that I'm totally screwed.
Well, I hear you. I mean, so you got free email from Hotmail, right? And your password was probably pretty weak, or you've used that password somewhere else. And
I think what happened was I had an email from MSN that said I needed to upgrade because I had gone beyond my allowed activity.
Yeah, and they wanted you to log in.
And I did that, mm-hmm. and after I did that, everything I had started crashing. So I think that was a fake email.
Well, the key is we're going to give you the proper Hotmail account, how to fix it, and mm-hmm. how to work with the Hotmail folks directly, so you at least can do that. You said it was hacked, and the hacking usually, when people say it's hacked, it means emails are coming out from you that aren't from you. Is that the case?
Correct.
Okay.
People started texting me and saying, "Wow, I just got a really weird email from you." I go, "What? I didn't email you."
There it is. Okay, so yeah, your email account is hacked. What was its password?
Whose password?
Your password on your email account. What was it?
It was...
Don't tell me. What are you doing, Sarah?
Oh, no. I was just going to tell you whether it was, you know, I was just going to tell you... No, I was just going to tell you whether it was a name or a number or a prefabricated...
Sure you were. You weren't going to give me... What's your social security number, Sarah? No, just kidding. No. I hear you. Whenever you get this corrected and reset by working with their support, make sure that password is very hard, very hardened, and have a two-factor turned on so that when you log in... You're going to hit your phone as a two-factor authentication, and that way the bad guys should have less chance of hacking your account with two-factor authentication turned on.
Plus,
so in the meantime, what do I do? I mean, are they?
We're sending you a link. They could still be messing around with your account. Yes, they could be messing around. You need to contact the Hotmail folks and know you're comfortable with the people you're going to talk to, and we're going to put a link there for you. That's the key.
Okay. All right,
Sarah.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, great. Good luck. I'm glad your husband came in and stopped you.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was fishy. I wasn't ready to fork over $200, you know, so.
All right,
okay.
That's good. All right, Sarah. Thanks for calling.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Let's move on to another Sarah in Wallingford. What's going on, Sarah?
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I thought I might be able to help the gentleman that was having a problem and wanted to cancel his Office 365 subscription.
Yeah.
I had 365 actually a couple of different times, and when I decided I was going to cancel it, I happened to have Office 2010 on a CD. So I loaded that up, and it pulled in. It opened right up. It opened all my Outlook stuff, and then I canceled Office 365.
Right. So you set the account up. And you downloaded the information by having the Office.
Well, no,
connect.
It actually opened up the PST file.
The local OST that was on your system.
2010 used the PST.
PST, yeah.
That was the last version to use a PST because from 2013 and on, it uses an OST.
OST, yeah. It's not a bad thought to put the software on there first and connect to your account and have it bring down the data that way.
Yeah, because one of the options that you get with Office 365 is to actually download the programs onto your computer.
Correct, the local programs. Yep, that is true. But you lose access to them when you stop paying for the rental.
Yeah, but what I was thinking was, is if he bought the Office, 2021, the Outlook program, if he put that on there first and then opened up and got his stuff in, then he could cancel the subscription.
You make perfect sense, Sarah. You make good sense.
I just wanted to help.
We do appreciate it. No, that's good sense. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. So she makes good sense. Get your software, get your stuff ready first. I probably should have prefaced that when we were talking about it. Get it installed and then do your export. That makes good sense.
But that lady, that one lady that had problems, Microsoft didn't auto renew it.
Right.
So she had lost stuff.
Lost data, yeah.
Yeah.
Not good. All right, let's go. We'll take a quick break and get back to your calls. Got two lines open. Feel free to get online. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that. And let's go right to our resident groupie, Danny. How's it going, Danny?
You better hope Elon Musk isn't driving that Chinese rocket that's coming down out of orbit.
Well, if he is driving it, it probably would land in a safe way.
Because I'm sure he'd be steering it to Southington. I think he's got your street address right on the left-hand side.
He probably does. Hey, man, I'm an Elon fan. What do you think about it jumping the shark, though? Come on, he's jumping the shark on SNL.
What's it going to take?
What?
I said, what's it going to take for you to get with the program?
Well, we'll see. I'll watch his monologue, his opening monologue on SNL, and see how...
No, you're not allowed to watch. You're not allowed to watch.
I'll see.
Another thing, you know, everybody else is making all these electric cars or alleged electric cars.
Right.
You know, like the air, which
yes.
is kind of what gas is, you know, air, like bad gas.
So you're not a fan of the competition coming in, are you?
How many of them have their own battery factory?
Well, they'll probably be buying from him. But then again, they say they got a 500-mile battery.
There is the edge.
Yep.
It's like everybody's building cars, but only one guy's making wheels, and everybody's got to buy their wheels off of him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's got plans.
I'm despondent.
You're despondent.
I really. Well, I can't wait till he goes home after the show with Miley Cyrus and dumps Grimes, and then hear what you have to say next week. That he's like,
I hope he's funny at least.
Oh, he is. All right. Okay. On a serious note, that Netgear router that with all the whiskers on the top.
Yes.
Would that make our Wi-Fi faster? We've got just a basic Aris that
the internet provider provided you?
Yeah, that we got from Cox a little while ago.
Well, what is your speed, Danny? What do you have for?
Well, we're getting 5.5 now. Since they came in, you know what happened? For the last couple of years, we have two dedicated phone lines from Frontier.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's Frontier the provider. And the one is for a fax. And sometimes the fax would work, and sometimes it wouldn't. Finally, I made a service call, because every time we called, they said you had to get a faster package, you had to upgrade this, upgrade that. The guy came to the house, he went down to the box at the end of the street, and we had what they referred to as a cross.
Yeah, they had some wire crossed, yeah.
Yeah, so there were two wires that had touching each other, and every time a car went by, a truck went by, it had rubbed the insulation off, and it was shorted out. He didn't even have a dial tone on it when he put the thing on the back of the house.
Wow.
So,
but you're only getting 5 megabits, Danny?
I went from 1.8 to 5.5. So
yeah, that's really bad.
So I'm getting 5.5 on average now.
That's awful. What do you pay for, though?
$20 or something, $25.
You pay $25 for what, though? Your bill should tell you what your speed should
be. Oh, yeah, just for the internet, for the DSL line. Now, he told me, because we're 4.3 miles from the DSL hub center thing.
Yeah.
And he said we could get fiber to the corner, and then it would have DSL the last 583 feet. Mm-hmm. Which should significantly increase our speed, but I was wondering if that Netgear thing would do it.
No, you're only going to get more performance.
I'm only going to get what I get.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should know that. Don't watch Saturn. You are forbidden.
I'm not going to watch it live. I got better things to do, but I'll DVR it.
I know. I know. You know, and everybody forgets all the other stuff he does. He's got that supercomputer project, the Neuralink, the boring. I mean, he's.
Yeah, he's got a I can't wait to buy his flamethrower. I'm sure my neighbors would love to have that.
He always says he's going to do it in 2 years.
Right.
And it takes him 3 years or 4 years. He does stuff in 3 years and 4 years that other people can never do at all.
I hear you. He's
so
a great...
That's why you're disappointed in him. Cause
no, I'm not disappointed in him.
Oh, my God. Oh, I got heartburn. Okay, I got to go.
All right, but anyway.
All right, goodbye.
I just think it's pretty funny SNL is...
Yeah, well, you know, obviously he's doing it to promote it, and that's a great thing. You know,
well, not for him. He doesn't need the promotion. They need him more than he needs them.
His companies. Well, yeah, well, Saturday Night Live, I haven't watched it in years.
Yeah, and you're going to watch it now.
No, I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to be sleeping.
No, me too, but I'll watch the DVR of it and see
I'm
how
sure
Elon
that they'll
did.
YouTube it. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. They probably will.
Yeah.
Let's go to East Hartford in April next. What's going on, April?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I have a problem. I'm running an old computer and you're going to yell at me, but I haven't worked in a year. I can't find a job, so I can't afford a new computer. So I'm running Windows 7.
All right.
That's running fine. I don't have any trouble with it except this Adobe thing. Every time I get a download and I take the Adobe and I click on it, I'm not good with computers, so if you'll forgive me, but when I open the Adobe, I can open it. I can go in and say I have to sign a document. I'll click on a sign.
Yeah.
I can get that far, but I can't close it.
You can't close the program?
I can't close Adobe. There's no way to close it. I can click on the X in the upper right. It won't close. I try going to the bottom and right-clicking where it says close program. I can't click on that. It won't do anything. And then, right at that point, the arrow on the... that runs the mouse, that arrow turns into one of those, like the brackets that looks like a capital I. It turns into that, and it won't do anything. It just locks up. I can't do anything. And the only way to get out of the program that I've figured out is a Control-Alt-Delete and just shut the thing down.
Wow. Is this Adobe PDF only, or is it anything
else? Yeah, just the only. Yeah, but I can't get out of it once I get into it. And anytime someone sends me a download, and because I'm looking for a job, I get a lot of them, fill out this form, I can never get out of the Adobe. I get two or three clicks into it where, I do what I have to do, whether it be, open the file or save it. I can save it. I can do all that. But then after two or three clicks, it turns into that bracket thing, and it won't do anything. I can't close it.
Have you tried downloading a new version of it from Adobe?
I did. I did.
Same problem.
Yeah. Like I said, I can get into it. I can do two or three things, and it's not consistent as to when it turns into that bracket thing. But it's like, when you, if you click on a field and you're going to fill it in, and it gives you, in Adobe, it gives you that capital I bracket looking thing, like it tells you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you fill it in. That's what it turns into, and then it won't go back. And no matter what you do, you can't go to the toolbar. So I go up to the toolbar and try to click on the arrow to get it to go back to the arrow so I can continue or close it. It won't do anything. It's almost like it locks up.
Right.
Although you can still move the thing around with the mouse.
Right. And you can't bring any other programs up?
No.
So your machine freezes up?
Well, no. Anything behind it.
If
there's something open behind it, I can close all of that. I can open that. But that is stuck on the screen. It's in the forefront, so you can't get back to anything else until you close the Adobe.
That's a good one here, April. I don't have a quick answer for you.
I can't figure out how to close the... That's the only problem I'm having, is trying to close the Adobe, but I am running an old computer.
Bob might have found an answer.
Well, you can use Task Manager to close it rather than restarting your computer.
We'll put a link up there for that.
And then there's a registry at HEC that apparently works.
Might be more trouble than it's worth, though. But we'll put a link up there for you, too, April. We have to go. We're coming up against the hard break here. I got to say goodbye to everybody.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Thank you, Matt, for producing. Thank you, Mike G., for posting everything live. Stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next, giving you a second opinion on your health advice.
See you next week.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.